Welcome to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Good morning, America. Good afternoon to the UK and Europe. Good evening if you are in India and all the way to Singapore. And if you're listening in Australia, it's time you got to sleep. Anyway, welcome to the show where my guest this week is Rachel Lancaster, and we're going to have a lively show. How do I know? In our pre-chat, we got pretty lively, so I know. Anyway, let's turn to the news reports for the week. And firstly, I'm just going to say how sad we are to hear of another shooting in America. We hear about it here and it impacts on us and how we feel about our children in school. So I know it's very little to say we're thinking about you, but we think about you. Moving on to what is in the press here about menopause. It's been another lively week in the menopause media. I'm going to start with one that I just spotted this morning, which was from the Eastern Daily Press, which is from the east of England in Norfolk and Ipswich. It says, Kerry Dolan knows firsthand how powerful hypnotherapy can be. Pregnant with her oldest daughter and terrified of needles, she took a hypnobirthing course to help prepare her for labor. Hypnobirthing equipped Kerry with knowledge about what was happening in her body and practical ways to manage her stress and fear response. And her experience of perimenopause, the changes that occur in the years leading up to the menopause and the end of periods, led her to explore the ways in which hypnotherapy could help to transform, that's with T-R-A-N-C-E, transform it, and she describes it. Hot flushes are one of the symptoms many women dread, but as Kerry explained, there's a hypnotherapy technique that can help. Ironically, hot flushes are to cool us because the brain freaks out if the temperature fluctuates. When you imagine something, you create a physiological response. So in the case of something like a hot flush, you can teach people to access feeling cool and calm and reset their temperature. Yes, and there is research that backs that up. There's research that's been done with women undergoing chemotherapy and hormone treatment for cancer and using relaxation and hypnotherapy visualization techniques to cool themselves down. So we know it's effective, and there's been more recent research into that as well. Why am I telling you? I'm a hypnotherapist. I help my clients. Moving on from News Medical Net, good lifestyle habits during menopause can help alleviate the health risks related to fat accumulation. A study conducted in the Faculty of Sport and Health Sciences in the University of, I don't know why I do this to myself, I don't know how to say this word, Gifleskla, in Finland, revealed that menopausal transition increases women's body fat, especially in the waist area. I think a number of us know that. Therefore, to alleviate the health risks related to fat accumulation, women are recommended in midlife to pay special attention to good lifestyle habits, physical activity, and healthy diet to help alleviate the health risks related to fat accumulation. There's a lot more in that article, but if we get down to the bottom, the results indicate that menopause affects body fat accumulation in women. Contrary to expectations, the increases in the amount of adipose tissue of our participants had only moderately negative effects on the hormones derived from the adipose tissue that reflect metabolic health. We suspect that the relatively healthy lifestyle habits of our participants help them sustain metabolic health despite an increase in fat mass and menopause. You don't have to be unhealthy. Adjusting your diet, adjusting your exercise, adjusting your stress levels is all going to help you. From the Socialist Party, this is in the UK, I don't think I've ever quoted from them before. TV review, Sex, Mind and the Menopause, Nikki Downs, NEU Executive Committee. She says, I was one of the few women that didn't watch Davina McCall's first menopause documentary, Sex, Myths and the Menopause. As a trade union officer for the National Education Union, it was a busy time. I had high hopes then that the follow-up Sex, Mind and Menopause would be worth watching and would push boundaries on women's health. To begin with, it raised some really important points about women and work. The statistics are shocking, and we're going to talk about statistics today, so are they shocking? 44% of women say that menopause affects their work, and 1 in 10 women quit their job due to it. The programme then featured a teacher who'd been dismissed after menopause symptoms affected her work. At this point, I expected Davina to talk about what women could do to be treated fairly at work, maybe mentioning their rights under the Equality Act, but all she referred to was one manager who had set up a successful menopause support group in a prison. It was such a mixed opportunity. So I understand the focus on HRT and the medical approach to the menopause that Davina is promoting. It can be very beneficial, and we should be fighting for equal access to NHS resources for all women and the trans and non-binary community. However, it is a choice to take HRT and not the panacea. Davina McCall has achieved a great deal from raising the issue and educating women about the menopause. I just wonder if there should be another program made that highlights how societal change and the work of trade unionists could bring about better working conditions, etc. Yes, it's very difficult to fit all of that into an hour or even in 2 1-hour programs, but there is so much more to be said on this subject. From fortune.com, how to manage and normalize menopause at work. Menopause dovetails with various uncomfortable symptoms, including hot flushes, fatigue, chills, depression, brain fog, mood swings. Imagine a woman in the boardroom who breaks out into a sweat at an inopportune moment, such as the middle of a presentation, and literally has perspiration dripping down her face. It happens. It does happen. Having menopause symptoms at work can be very stressful, particularly under high-stakes situations, says Dr. Phobian, who is director of the North American Menopause Society, the NAMS. It's particularly complicated territory to navigate for women and employees of colour, yes, because they're already under a lot of stress due to underlying racism, who are already forced to deal with other stigmas of work. The onus for making the workplace a safe, comfortable place falls on company leadership. It has to start at the top, has to be signalled from the top that this is something that we talk about. Lots more in that article too. I very deliberately picked this one from Ireland because it was a subject that Rachel and I talked about when we were preparing for the show. Risk of suicide highest amongst women entering menopause. This comes from Independent in Ireland. A woman whose mother died by suicide has urged people to be aware of the link between menopause and mental health. Dr. O'Keen says there is a worrying neglect around the mental health of women in middle age. It's probably reflected in the fact that there's very little awareness that 52 years of age is the mean age for a woman to die by suicide. And this brings up questions of the dearth of research into mental health and menopause. So there's lots more about that. We will chat about what's going on with that later in the show. Reader's Digest, menopause, how to support your partner. Yay. So many programs, so many podcasts, so many articles ignore the role of your partner. Menopause can be an emotional roller coaster for many women, with hormonal changes impacting both mental and physical health. Psychologist Noel McDermott advises couples on how to support each other during this time. It can be difficult, though, for an intimate partner to watch their loved ones suffer and also behave in antisocial ways towards them. Psychological distress is rarely, if ever, pro-social and pleasant. And if your loved one does experience psychological distress during menopause, it's important to look to your own needs, okay? The main ways in which, as a partner, you can help lies within the psychological distress that may emerge. Supporting her by showing insight and understanding. Listen, that's what we want, listen, is usually all you need to do. It's often difficult for someone who's going through psychological distress to display insight. They usually only display the distress. They may act out or lash out and may want to push you away. One of the best ways of helping someone you love is by ensuring you have support yourself. Whilst this is understandable, it's probably more helpful to guide your partner into seeking support and help if you think, or in fact know, that she is menopausal. So yeah, supporting a partner, perhaps being there when they go to the doctor, if they feel like they need somebody to help them advocate. Listening is great. The Toledo Blade, I don't think I've ever quoted from this one either. Changing how you view menopause, you will understand why I picked this one. Many women don't feel like they have good knowledge of menopause. We often spend so much time focusing on the reproductive years that menopause is pushed under the rug, said Heather Vall, a gynecologist with ProMedica Physicians Pelvic Health. But every woman, if she lives long enough, is going to go through menopause. We need to change the way we view it, especially since most women will be spending a fair amount of time in it. Dr. Vahl recommends that women check out the NAMS, the North American Menopause Society website. It is very good for resources and guides about menopause and its symptoms. You can also learn more about menopause and treatment on the ProMedica website. Understanding menopause can help make the transition less confusing and scary, so you know what to expect and what treatment options are available if needed. We shouldn't fear aging, says Dr. Vahl, and should enjoy it. Yes, that is our message. Rachel, welcome into the virtual studio. How are you doing today?
Hello, it is so good to be here. I'm absolutely delighted.
Excellent. So last time I spoke to you, you were in New York. So
I was.
When did you get
yes.
back?
I got back on Monday.
And you were seeing your son graduating?
I was, yes, from New York University.
Oh, excellent. So
at Yankee Stadium. So that was great fun.
Do you know, I've never been to New York. I've been there like 50 times on the radio show, but
yeah.
Did you like that last message from Dr. Vahl? We need to change the messaging around menopause.
Absolutely. There are so many things in a woman's life, aren't there, that are quite major. But if you look at like puberty and childbirth, they're not overwhelmingly negative. And yet menopause, which I see as a natural transition in a woman's life, is overwhelmingly portrayed as something negative. So yes, we definitely need to change how we see it. Yes.
Yes, and be positive about it. I mean, when I'm training people and running workshops, I need to tell them the facts. But I also need to say, but the other side of it is great. You know, I feel better. I'm like livelier. There's so much good stuff going on. And it's embracing that the other side of this, it is only a transition. Mm. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think most women post-menopause are absolutely fine, and hopefully they're more than fine, hopefully they're fabulous. But we are sort of fed so many messages, aren't we, that it is doom and gloom, that it is something to be struggled through, and that actually we're kind of irrelevant when we get to the other side. And those are the things that I really want to change and tackle, because I think that informs how women experience menopause itself.
Yeah. On that very positive note, we will see you after the break when I'll be talking to Rachel about how she came to be doing what she's doing, how she's having a magnificent midlife, and how we can help you as well and the hype around menopause. See you after the break.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome
welcome back to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And my guest in the virtual studio today is Rachel Lancaster. So Rachel is the founder of Magnificent Midlife, an online hub celebrating and empowering women 40 plus. She's the author of Magnificent Midlife, Transform Your Midlife, Your Middle Years, Menopause and Beyond, and the host of the Magnificent Midlife podcast. After a shocking early menopause diagnosis at 41, she scratched her own itch and created what she wasn't able to find to help herself. This includes one-to-one and group midlife mentoring, educational resources, and an online membership program to help women vibrantly transition through this sometimes messy middle life. Welcome, Rachel. It's such a joy to see you here.
Oh, I'm very excited. It's great to be here.
So how did you get started in your career? What was going on before you hit that shock at 41?
Well, I had had a very stressful corporate career and I had actually just left it and I had decided to go freelance. And I think it's like when you go away on holiday and you get sick. I think when I left and got off the hamster wheel, my body just went, oh gosh, I can finally relax, and here's early menopause. And I will never know whether that diagnosis was correct or not. Such was the woeful lack of knowledge of the medical establishment then. It's better now. It can still get a lot better now. But I went on this sort of journey that led me to where I am now because of that diagnosis. And initially I was able to reverse it, which was very confusing. So I changed my diet and I changed my lifestyle and I started to bleed again. And the reason why I had discovered all of these things was because I'd gone for a hormone test because I was trying for another child.
That was going to be my question. What took you to the doctor in the first place?
So I wanted another child ever since I had the first one. And I'd finally met a man who was willing to try and have a baby with me. The problem was he'd already got three children, but more importantly, he'd had a vasectomy. So before we sort of sent him off to have the snip or the reverse snip, I thought I'd better get checked out. So that was why I went for the initial test. And when I got the information, the doctor basically said to me, you have the hormonal profile of a postmenopausal woman. There is no way that you could conceive a child.
Oh, gosh.
So that was the bomb that sort of dropped. And then I went off and I actually found somebody called Dr. Marilyn Glenville.
I love her.
She's really, really good. And she put me on this special diet. And so I cut out caffeine, I cut out alcohol, I cut out sugar, I cut out dairy, I ate only organic, even my personal products, I was to have them as organic as possible. I was to eat at regular intervals so that I maintained a stable blood sugar level. And within a very short time, I started to bleed again. I went back for another hormone test and they said, oh, you're perfectly normal again.
So just with doing those things.
Well, it was doing those things, but it might also have been that I was actually in perimenopause and I wasn't really menopausal, but I was definitely very early to be having those kind of changes anyway. So something wasn't right. And I'm convinced it was stress that caused this to happen.
I was going to say that because there has been a common theme with women I've talked to on the show who are now very kind of into different ways of self-care, that they've been in corporate and they came out because they knew it wasn't doing their health any good. They were getting stressed, they were getting sick. And, you know, stress has such an enormous impact on our body at any stage. Tell us more about your story then.
So that didn't last. So he had the reverse snip. That didn't work. We didn't get the baby. And about 9 months later, my body went back to where it was again. So was it perimenopause fluctuations? Probably, possibly, but I still had this diagnosis of early menopause. That was what they decided I had. So I then sort of waited for about 2 years, then 2-3 years. I really didn't want to go on HRT, which was what they wanted me to do. And then I was told by the doctor that I said, look, they said, if your bones are all right, you don't need to go on the HRT. But if they're not, we'd like you to go on the HRT. So I went and had a bone scan, and I was found to have borderline osteopenia in my hip. So then I thought, okay, suck it up, Rachel, go on the HRT. But the advice then was go on it only until average menopause age of 51. And I took that to heart. I don't like taking medication unless I absolutely have to.
So, and how's your bone health now? Did it
It's improve? Fine. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And it's 14 years now. And I've been off the HRT for 4 years now.
Yeah.
And my bone health is fine because I put in place other things to help my bones. You know, I have far more exercise now. I do weight-bearing exercise. I run and I run quite a lot. And that, to me, is really a very good way of maintaining bone density.
Yeah. So in the very early days of the show last year, I had Leslie Fettis on the show, who is based very near me in Cambridgeshire. And she went into menopause at 36.
Wow.
And she was advised to go on HRT because of bone health, and there was a bit of a history of low bone density. Her bone health now is fantastic, but she also made changes to her diet and changes to her exercise, and was very fortunate in her friend Maggie Fordham, who's a personal trainer, who also really helped her to deal with the hormonal changes. So, you know, I'm sure we're going to get to this anyway, but hormone replacement therapy or hormone therapy isn't a magic bullet. It's not a silver bullet. It's about the other changes that you make as well that are really important. But if you're going into early menopause, the bone health issue, the effects on your the protection of the heart and other things is why it's normally recommended. My own mother had a hysterectomy in her late 30s. I really don't think she was ever offered hormone therapy. I certainly don't think she ever took it. And she did end up with osteoporosis in later life. So it is a thing to be aware of. I keep interrupting your story, Rachel. So you've gone on the HRT, you're altering your diet. And what made you then so motivated to do something to help other women?
Well, I had learned so much, having gone from, you know, zero knowledge and awful depression. Not only had I had my dreams dashed, you know, my last hope that had gone, but I had bought into the negative narratives about menopause, and I was being ageist against myself. I honestly thought that my life, my meaningful life as a woman, was over. And that just eventually I realized how utterly ridiculous that was. But I saw menopause as something for older women, you know, that wasn't me. Well, I was in midlife already, you know, I was 41, I was in the middle of life. And I was being prejudiced against menopause. I was being prejudiced against getting older. I was suddenly faced with my own mortality, which is what often happens when women go through menopause. But I learned all of these things about how to have a better experience. And when I got to 51, I weaned myself off the HRT because I put in place all these things. Nothing happened except for the fact that I had a couple of hot flushes. And what caused those? Alcohol and sugar. So I was my own guinea pig because I came off the HRT and it was those two things that triggered the hot flushes. So I know there are many other symptoms, of course, it's not just hot flushes, but that to me was a real sign that we have so much more ability to look after ourselves and to be proactive about our menopause experience. We don't have to be, oh, give me the HRT, I can't cope. Sorry, that's going to sound really annoying to a lot of people, but honestly, we can be proactive. Yeah. We can take control. We don't, it's not something that's happening to us that needs fixing. It's something's happening that we're involved in, and it's part of who we are, and we can be proactive about our experience of it.
That is so important what you're saying, Rachel, because, you know, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I just said, oh, if only we were talking more about menopause, because I, you know, 95% of women have no idea what menopause is, what perimenopause is, how it can affect you, and then the good things that come out of it as well. I thought we need to be talking about it. We need to be getting educated so that when it does happen, we know what we want, what the options are. We can be proactive, because the more proactive you are, the less stressful it is. Now it is all over the media all the time, but not in a good way. It's being scary. I want to educate women to make choice. I don't want to educate them to frighten them. And I think you're in that same ballpark.
I get really concerned, because what do you and I know about stress and fear and anxiety? It makes the menopause worse. Yeah. So in fact, by telling women that there are these, all these terrible things, and not actually backing them up some of the time, which I know we're going to look at, big scary headlines sell newspapers. They sell HRT. They sell medical, private medical services.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is doing women any good at all. I mean, by all means, let's get the facts.
Yeah.
But even the facts, let's give them context. Let's not just throw out one fact with no context, which is, you know, super scary. Because even if it is factually correct, everything needs to have a context to it. We need to understand the whole picture, not just, you know, something specific necessarily. And I fear that by creating this climate of fear, we just create more fear, and it just, it's this vicious circle. The menopause is going to be worse for everybody.
I know. And we want you to be, we want women to be educated, to understand the options, to think, okay, this is what I can do. I'd like to give this a go. I'm going to give that a go. To just treat it as a really interesting experiment and getting yourself fit, because this stage of life is a chance to create that platform, that foundation for the rest of your life to be really healthy. Not having a quick fix and thinking, oh, I'll just, you know, just give me a tablet and I'm through. No, it's about like thinking about all of you. And I ran a retreat a few years ago in France. Fabulous location, nutritionist trained by Marilyn Glenville, fantastic. And I invited some women, and one woman said, why do I want to spend a week or a weekend with other menopausal women? Well, you wouldn't say that about teenagers. Oh, I'm a teenager, I don't want to be with other teenagers. Are you mad? Because we're women and we can share the experience. We're coming up to the break. So join us after the break, when we'll probably get livelier and feistier as we look at what's been in the media and the hype around menopause. See you after the break.
Howdy, I'm Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. I love it when my guests join in the dancing to my theme tune. If you're not watching us on Facebook, you are missing out, because we're bopping away in the background here, showing how magnificent we can be at midlife. I'm still at midlife. I'm going to live to be 130, so we're all good. I don't know when I come out of midlife, to be honest, but anyway. So let's get down and dirty with what's going on. Celebrity stories. Now, we've already said they do us a favour in raising the profile and talking about it. Are they representative of women's experiences?
Brilliant question. We don't know, do we? We don't know the answer, but celebrities don't live the lives of other women. They live very stressful lives. And, you know, somebody that's a TV presenter or a politician, you know, they're going to be having a very different experience of life. So maybe there are other stresses and strains there that I or you, other women, don't necessarily have. And what concerns me is that we see these celebrity stories and we think, oh, it must be like that for everybody. And as you said, you know, I think the work that's been done is brilliant, but I do feel it is overly negative. And I do feel that there is too much of a focus on the HRT, because the celebrities have all taken the HRT. Where is the celebrity who didn't take HRT? Where is the celebrity who had a completely holistic approach to their menopause transition? Yeah, I haven't seen anybody like that.
Yeah, I mean, the Mariella Frostrup program a few years ago, she did touch on doing cognitive behavioral therapy, which she found was very helpful. But again, not really talking about the nutrition, the exercise, the lifestyle. And, you know, these women who are in the public eye, they have to make certain choices. And as you say, it can be very stressful. They're expected to stay slim and youthful everything else. And we're all meant to aspire to it rather than thinking, do you know what? I'm comfortable as I am. So, yeah, there's something about the celebrity stories. And the really important point that you're making, every woman's experience of menopause is unique. It's unique, not just because of your genes, but because of what you've eaten in your life, how you've exercised, the amounts of stress in your life. It all adds up culturally, society, all of these things make up your particular experience. So thinking, if I just do that thing that will work, it worked for that person. It may not work for you. You might have to find alternatives. And also with hormone replacement therapy, if you think, right, I'll just go, I'll get that and it'll work, you don't realize how many times they might have been back to their doctor to change the formulation, to change the delivery system, to keep testing and balancing. And I think women can get horribly disappointed when they think, oh, this is really going to work. And they get their patch and they put it on and they go, do you know, I'm not feeling that much better. My mood's still bad. This is happening. That's happening. So I think we're in favor of celebrities raising the profile. We just want to put the health warning that their experience may not be your experience. Does that sum it up, Rachel, or have I been a bit?
No, I think absolutely. But also, you know, consider some of their backgrounds as well, as you were saying, because how you experience menopause is reflection of how you have lived your life. And Meg Matthews is very honest about the fact that she learnt that she was in menopause in an AA meeting.
Yeah.
Because she found out that she got every one of the 34 symptoms on the long list of 34 symptoms. But yeah, she's an alcoholic, you know, and yeah, she's honest about that. Mm. So, and I also, talking about alcohol, I know a lot of women who want to take the HRT and carry on drinking a bit too much. Mm. Or they're having 5 cups of coffee a day and they wonder why they're still a bit anxious and can't sleep at night, you know. Yeah. So there's these things, it's not, you can't have the HRT and ignore everything else. You've got to do everything else. Even if you're on the HRT, still do everything else as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm contributing to a menopause toolkit that I think is going to be great from SWHR, Women's Health Research. And there is an OBGYN on that panel. And there's a bit about maintaining a healthy weight. And she said, can we say... We need to say that health, that weight is a multifactorial issue. In other words, it's not about one thing. And she said, what I want women to understand is that if they are overweight and they take HRT, it's not going to make them slim. You have to do the other stuff as well. That's why I just don't like this idea of the magic pill that changes everything. You have to do the other stuff. Don't get sold a story that this is the answer, because there's other stuff you have to do. I think we're both bought into that. Right, so data. Let's talk a little bit about data, because when I first started writing about menopause 10 years ago, there was hardly any data. There was one report that I used. Now, you're tripping over reports every day of the week, but the data gets misinterpreted. What's your favourite bit of bad data?
Well, some of it's misinterpreted and some of it's just downright wrong. So I've written an article. I did some research. There's a figure that is often quoted. 900,000 women have left work because of menopause in the UK, right? So this is quoted on the Wellbeing of Women website. It was quoted in a UK parliamentary inquiry into menopause. It is quoted on LinkedIn by employers who say, this number of women have left work because of menopause, and we are glad to have signed up to the Menopause in the Workplace Charter. You know, that it's driving people's strategy at work. It's in all the press. Well, I researched it and I found out it came from a PR survey done by Bupa, which is a private medical insurance company. And they interviewed 1,000 women, and they interviewed 1,000 women aged 18 to 70. Spot the deliberate mistake there. And then they asked them a question whether any of these life events had caused them to leave a job completely. And those life events were pregnancy, periods, fertility struggles, and menopause. So not just menopause. And then they got 40 women, basically. 40 women answered yes to that question. So 40 then extrapolated it to the entire UK population of women aged 18 to 70, again, not 45 to 55. So they took the wrong answer to the wrong question, extrapolated it to the wrong population, and that's how we got 900,000 women left work. And that's what it's based on. And then earlier, just this year in March, the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, they were doing an online webinar for employers. And somebody on that program, that webinar, said, and 900,000 women are leaving work every year. So in 10 years' time, we'll have no women in the workplace because they'll all have buggered off.
I know. And, you know, having worked in government, I know how statistics get used, and you have to go back to the source statistic, as you've done, and go... Now, I mean, I saw the statistic of 25% of women consider leaving their jobs. And then that is taken as 25% do leave their jobs.
I know. You've got to be so careful.
And yeah.
What I think it's so important for women to remember is to think, who does this statistic benefit? Who does this narrative benefit? Because if people are causing all this fear and are driving sales of HRT, and we now have shortages of HRT in the UK, that's not just because of raising awareness, it's because of Brexit and COVID, but there's an element of it within that, you know, increased awareness and pushing the HRT is driving that. But who does that benefit? That's not just the women, it's the drug companies.
Yeah.
And it's the private medical service providers as well. So
I know, always follow the money.
Follow the money and follow stay curious. Follow the money.
And the other, so I quoted that article from the Irish Independent about suicide. Now, that's really frightening for women to think that their mental health would be affected to the point of suicide. Now, we know from the World Economic Forum report that levels of happiness dip in your late 40s, early 50s, and then rise. You get happier as you get older. Now, you know, there's lots of pressures at midlife. It can be the children, it can be the older parents, it can be stresses at work or finances. And then we get to our 50s and we start to feel a bit happier, and it carries on way into our 70s. What do you want to say about that statistic around suicide?
Well, again, it's about providing context. So even if this statistic is correct, and it often gets misquoted, because I've seen in the Times it's described as a sevenfold increase in suicide at menopause age. Well, that's 700%.
Yes.
I mean, that's just what that yeah. that does not stack up. But even if you look at the statistics and the chart from the Office of National Statistics here, you see that yes, it does peak around this age, but as you've just said, and age 47 is the unhappiest age because of this U-curve of happiness that you've mentioned. But if you look at what is going on in midlife, you've got all those other things, but men have the same increase, and they're not going through menopause. They have the same increase, and they are at least three times more likely than women to commit suicide. So again, it's about providing some context. And also, there is never one reason for suicide. When I wrote about this and analysed this, I sent the article to the Samaritans in the UK, and they said there's never just one reason. And if we oversimplify the reasons for suicide, then we potentially cause damage to vulnerable people. So it's again, it's about, why are we layering this on? Yes, there are some women who happen to have committed suicide in their late 40s, early 50s, but that doesn't mean that menopause is causing suicide. Correlation does not equal causation.
Correlation doesn't equal causation. Yes, there's far higher incidence of people with breast cancer who have telephones.
Yes.
Telephones do not cause breast
yes,
cancer.
Yes.
It's a correlation. Yes. You have to look behind the statistics.
Yeah.
Lies, damn lies.
I like
that. Statistics.
I'm going to use that.
I gift it to you. Join us after the break when we'll be giving you more insights into stripping away that hype around menopause. See you after the break.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show. I almost lost my mouse pointer there because I was having fun with Rachel. And we have a comment on Facebook from our mutual colleague, Kay Newton. Should I love Rachel's comment about context. I learned as a student that stats can be warped to fit your argument. It's only when we delve into them we find a different story. I love that Rachel has been investigating deeply. We need to stay curious about this stuff, you know, not just accept what is fed to us in news reports. You have to think, what's behind that? I know that's not being cynical. That's about really understanding and having a curiosity around it and a curiosity around your own health. So let's talk about why do women, some women have different experiences. Some women have better experiences. Some women have worse experiences. I know my thoughts on it. Take it away, Rachel. What's your thoughts on it?
There's so many reasons, so many reasons. Let's just look briefly at culture, because if we look at other cultures around the world, we find that women don't have a bad menopause experience. If we look at even different cultures with that are similar to ours, that have a different religious background, we find that women have different menopause experiences. So it's particularly in Anglo-Protestant countries where we seem to have the worst experience of menopause. And a study once found that British women, of all women in the whole wide world, report the worst menopause. So again, it's about why. I want to ask, why is this happening? Now, there are many, many reasons why I think it might be happening. One, it's massive, it's diet. So, for example, women in East Asian countries, where they eat a lot of soy, which is a natural phytoestrogen, which is an excellent thing to take, that may be helping them have a better menopause experience. The fact that they get more status as they get older, I also believe that that drives a good menopause experience. And some people may think that's ridiculous, but we've already looked at how cognitive behavioral therapy and hypnotherapy can help with menopause symptoms. So we know that how we feel about menopause can impact our experience of it. And there is research that shows that how we feel about aging reflects how well we age. So it makes sense to me that if we are full of fear about menopause, we think meaningful life is over, we think we are now to be consigned to the rubbish heap of history, we're probably not going to have a very good experience of it. Whereas if we feel, okay, this is a natural transition, I'm going to come out of this like a whale comes out of menopause, and whales become the leaders of their pods, often for up to 50 years. They don't go and sit in a corner and become invisible, you know. So if we can change our mindset, and it was really interesting actually, because the woman who taught me about the whales, she credited learning about the whales as actually impacting her physical experience of menopause.
And you see, this is where we have to look at reports and question them, because I thought, why is it only whales that have a menopause? Why humans and whales? And now they're doing more research, because any female part of a species isn't researched as much as the male part. Giraffes, elephants.
Maybe elephants, yeah.
And now they're saying dogs.
Really?
If you live long enough. So, you know, we always have to look at this and say, what's really going on? And, you know, female elephants who have gone through menopause will become the grandmothers who help to look after the rest of the it's a herd of elephants. I was just going to say a tribe of elephants. I don't know what a group of giraffes is. It's probably a herd. They're probably doing the same thing there. So we're not the only species experiencing menopause, but animals don't know that they're supposed to feel bad about it.
Exactly.
They just crack on with their lives and become the leaders of their herds. So, yeah, let's think about that. And you've just sort of touched on the alternatives. So when I'm teaching about menopause, when I'm running workshops, I say there are lots of options. You can, you know, if you want to do the hormone therapy, fine. Understand it, understand the benefits and the risks, and, you know, do your research. But think about the other stuff as well, the nutrition, the lifestyle. If you're smoking, stop it. Yes. Alcohol, not your friend. It's a false friend that goes, come on, let's go out and party, and then leaves you standing in the corner feeling rough. not good for you, and the sugary products. But also, you know, there are herbal remedies, and Marilyn Glenville's site has some of those food supplements that you might need. You know, you might need some more vitamins or minerals to help supplement your system. Homeopathy. Now, one person, I ran a course 10 hours over 5 weeks, and I mentioned homeopathy once. And in the feedback, she said, I started to doubt Pat when she mentioned homeopathy. In 10 hours, I mentioned it once. I use homeopathy. If you want to use homeopathy, there are homeopathic remedies. It's what you want, and getting the advice that you need. Acupuncture, having some massage, aromatherapy, lots of things you can do in self-care. Right, that's
and exercise, really exercise, massively important.
So you said that you changed your nutrition, you changed your exercise. Were there any supplements that you found helpful or anything else that you used?
I don't take any manufactured supplements, but I do have maca powder and ashwagandha powder in my cereal every morning. Mm. And I don't have dairy milk, so I have soya milk.
Yeah.
And I am a great believer in ground flaxseed. I think postmenopausal women should, well, actually, for about 45, all women should have ground flaxseed every day. It's the most dense source of these natural phytoestrogens that can help us transition through menopause.
If you're not watching, you didn't see me do a double thumbs up there, because flax seeds are your very best friend.
They really are amazing.
Oh, omega-3 amazing. Oils, phytoestrogens.
They keep you regular.
Yeah. Let's get down and dirty with it. They keep you regular.
But you may have to make sure that they ground, because if you don't grind them, they only keep you regular and nothing else.
They just come out the same way they went in. I'm going to say it. So, yeah, and you might find that you need magnesium because you've got aching joints or
restless legs.
Ache.
Actually, I tell a lie. I do take magnesium for
now. It all
legs.
Comes out.
Now, yes, I'd forgotten, but I don't take it regularly. I take it when I've got a problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got a magnesium spray. And as Kay will know, I had a little fall in Mallorca when I visited her recently, and I'm using magnesium on my muscles because they help to relax the muscles. But if you have problems sleeping at night, if you've got restless legs, then magnesium can be really helpful.
Yeah.
You know, vitamin D, vitamin E, but you don't have to buy expensive vitamins that are labeled for menopause. Look for a good multivitamin with some minerals in it. I'm sure Marilyn Glenville does one. Future You from Cambridge do them. You know, it's really about, you might think, if I'm eating a healthy, balanced diet, I don't need any supplements, but our food isn't as rich in nutrients as it used to be. And sometimes you do. Rachel, we're running out of time. What's your one big message?
Well, before I give you one big message, I just wanted to very quickly say, because you were talking about you don't need expensive supplements, there was an article recently that wrote about the menopause market being worth an estimated £450 billion. That's the opportunity. So you are being milked, potentially, out of your money. Again, follow the money.
Targeted.
Don't get drawn into
quickly
it.
What's your one top tip?
My one top tip, just believe that menopause on the other side is amazing. You have a right to a magnificent midlife, and this is a tunnel, it's not a cave. So if you're struggling now, you're going to come out the other end, and it will be really, really cool.
Thank you for that positive message. So Rachel is making us an offer to do with her book, which I will put a link underneath the video, and when I post it up on the Hot Women Rock. We're running out of time. You can find Magnificent Menopause or Magnificent Midlife on my brain's going now because I'm so excited on Amazon. And you can find Rachel through all the links that are on the show links. Thank you so much, Rachel. You've been a great guest. If you've missed any of the other programs, and the recording for this one will go on the talkradio.nyc/hotwomenrock website, and you can find us there and you can find all the other programs there. Stay tuned to talkradio.nyc for Dismantle Racism with the amazing Reverend Dr. TLC. I'm not sure who her guest is today, but she says audience will be invited to move from history to healing, and that's really important. I love Dr. Terralyn's work. If you've missed, oh, so thank you again to my producer, Dylan, today for doing a fabulous job. If you need any other help with your menopause, my book, Hot Women, Cool Solutions, tells you all the solutions, including the hormone therapy, including the hypnotherapy as well. As a hypnotherapist and a coach, I do lots with my women to help them get through, and I help businesses to understand in the clearest way, without the hype, what's actually going on. So let's break the hype. Let's keep the conversation going. I'll see you next week when my guest will be the wonderful Christine Kurtzier, who will be talking about soul language and soulful menopause. See you next week. Have a great week. Take care.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.